Welcome to Wealth Beyond the White Coat, a show where we dive deep into the world of financial freedom for dentists and medical professionals. I'm your host, Darren Flesher, a dentist with a passion for uncovering the strategies that lead to a prosperous life beyond the office. Every episode, we'll explore the avenues of alternative investing, tax mitigation, and secrets to build wealth that the textbooks don't teach you. Whether you're looking to enhance your financial literacy, discover new investment opportunities, or simply find a better way to manage your money, this is the place where your financial health is the core of our conversations. Welcome to Wealth Beyond the White Coat, where your journey to financial clarity and freedom begins. All right, welcome to Wealth Beyond the White Coat. This is part two of our conversation with John and Matt, along with my co-host Ross. We pick up where we left off last time, talking about some basics in tax planning and strategy within the business, but also some things you can do outside the business that are individual and personal to lower your taxable income. And as Matt describes, it is both discriminatory and you can be exact. I can't remember the term he used, but you can be exact with what you're doing. Unlike some of the retirement planning parts of the strategy where you just fill up that bucket as much as you can, but it's still not enough. Some of these tax investment strategies, you can really dial it in, assuming you have the extra capital to get the number where you want it to on the tax return. Appreciate you tuning in. Hope you enjoy part two of our retirement and investing discussion as it pertains to tax planning.
This brings up a couple different points that are worth discussing further. So, John, from a CPA perspective, and I don't want to beat up your industry because I actually have compassion for your industry. I feel like the accounting industry has really put CPAs in a bad spot. But how many CPAs are aware of this type of code or tool to help their clients minimize their taxes?
Yeah, it's hard to say that, but I'd say it's not prevalent in our industry. Unfortunately, a lot of folks aren't taking advantage of this opportunity. They're not exposed to this opportunity. Some aren't aware of this opportunity, and I think there's a lot of folks out there who are missing the boat on this particular opportunity with oil and gas for sure.
Now, Matt, you've done a lot of work with CPAs. Talk about some of the CPAs may know the code, but they don't really know how to apply it for their clients. Talk about why some CPAs may be resistant and talk about why even a client might be resistant. Maybe they've heard a horror story. Talk about why investing in oil and gas is a good opportunity for the right person.
That's a great point. I would argue that almost all CPAs are familiar with the concept of oil and gas and that there are tax benefits. They may not know what code it falls under. They might not know exactly where to file it on the return, but they're familiar with the concept of the way that it works. They know what it is, and they understand that there's tax benefits associated with it. They don't not know that. What they don't know is they don't know how to trust the underlying investment and the economic value of an oil and gas partnership and know that if their client invests a dollar in it, that they're going to get an actual rate of return on their dollar. Look, they know that if a client puts $100,000 into an oil and gas partnership and they're in a high enough marginal bracket, the client's going to instantly save $30,000 in taxes. But if the investment turns out to be absolutely nothing, they lost $70,000 of their capital, even though they got a deduction. And that's a terrible outcome. So the expression in the business is, we never want to let the tax tail wag the investment dog, right? And because of that, many CPAs have faded it as a solution. Now, I can tell you what they're missing. And there's a few things that they're missing. And I understand why they don't pay attention. So back in the day, a long time ago, there was a lot of promoters in the oil and gas industry. And promoters,
promoter is a bad word.
It definitely doesn't have a positive, warm and fuzzy feeling to it. It's not an operator. A promoter is nothing more than a marketing person per se that's going out and taking and marketing somebody else's oil and gas program. So the question is, was it a development program or was it a wildcatting program? A wildcatting program can absolutely make you rich. Think Beverly Hillbillies, right? You're running around out there, you're poking holes in the ground. And if you find oil and gas and it's a gusher, you're going to make a mint. You're going to make a fortune. You get an income tax deduction for doing that because you're poking a hole in the ground. And by the way, let me go back to where this income tax deduction comes from. This has been in the code for decades, like 70 or 80 years, the oil and gas deduction has been in the code. And the reason it exists in the code is because when we realized that we needed oil and gas to exist as a growing nation, they put a lot of tax benefits into the code so people would go out and explore and find oil and gas. They would basically drill holes in the ground and hope that they could find fossil fuels. Hope and hope. What you got?
This works federal at all 50 states, correct?
Yes, this is in the tax code federally, and it works for all 50 states, even New York and California that hates everything and claims to be as green as you could possibly be. There are still the tax deduction for an IDC works in California as well. Still works, right?
So ultimately, you have to choose a development well where technology tells us it's the juice is underneath the ground, the oil and gas is there, versus a speculative opportunity, which is like wildcatting. So we use a development. We make sure we're dealing with trusted sponsors through due diligence, which we'll talk about on another podcast. And then we're going to get a rate of return. And a conservative rate of return is what, Matt? 1% a month?
Let me back up on that just a little bit and color in some of that for you. A development so that you understand what it is. Look, in the past, since this code was created, there's been an advancement in technology, just like everything in our life. Think about the first cell phone you had, how archaic that device was. And think about that one you have today, all the utility that device has today and the things that it could do, the apps and the smart features and the internet and all those things. I remember my old Motorola flip phone back in the day, and it was basically a brick with some buttons on it.
Like the Android you just got rid of 2 weeks ago.
Hey, you stop that. That sounds very judgy. Anyway, so look, technology has changed in oil and gas as well, right? Seismic and geologic technology wasn't something that they had back in the day. So today, it's not a poke and hope strategy. It's we know there's fossil fuels underneath the ground. We know they're called known reserves today. We know they're underneath the ground. We have enough data to support it. And there's probably a well over here to the left and a well over here to the right and a well to the north and a well to the south. And so we know that if we poke a hole in between all those, there's going to be oil and gas. What we don't know is the cost of the rig at the time that we build it to be able to drill the hole, like, and prices vary on supply and demand economics in the marketplace, and what the price of the commodity will be when we sell it into the secondary market. So the way to determine if it's ultimately economically viable is we have to do underwriting on here's the acreage, here's the proven reserves, here's the cost to drill a well, and here's what the commodity prices are at the time. It all comes down to cost basis, right? If I can own the mineral rights at a low enough price that when we sell them, there can be volatility in the commodity price. Sometimes it costs $4 to fill up your car. Sometimes it costs $3 to fill up your car. The pricing fluctuates. So as long as we know that we own the mineral rights at a low enough cost basis that when we pull them out of the ground and we sell them into the secondary market, that we can turn a profit, then it should ultimately make sense in a proven development. That's the part that most CPAs don't understand and haven't even attempted to understand. Because if you're an old school CPA and you have really good clients that are a little bit older, somebody probably brought you an oil and gas partnership that was probably introduced to them by a promoter that was probably a more speculative endeavor. And the CPAs probably listened to some of their wealthier clients and let them invest in it. And they got the tax deduction and they never made any money after that. And now the CPA says that every time somebody brings them an oil and gas partnership, we ain't doing that deal because they're trying to protect their clients. And it's coming from a good place, not from a bad place.
Hey, I just want to interrupt real quick and say thanks for listening to the podcast. If you didn't know, we have an associated Facebook group also called Wealth Beyond the White Coat. Over there, you can ask your questions, get feedback from group members, and have a close community of medical professionals who are likely interested in the same things as you. Whether it's alternative investing, tax mitigation, ways to keep more of your money, or even protect your assets, we're going to discuss those things in the group. Additionally, we have a private investors club called Legacy Point. As a member, you'll get exclusive discounts to preferred vendors. And you'll get access to private investments that you'll find nowhere else. Whether it's hotels, apartments, oil and gas, equipment rental, you name it, we'll be discussing those details and offering those investments to members only inside Legacy Point Group. If you want to learn more about that, please contact me or simply email info, I-N-F-O, at legacypointgroup.com or go to the website legacypointgroup.com. And Wealth Beyond the White Coat podcast listeners get an exclusive discount if you use the code WEALTHBEYOND. That's all caps, all together, WEALTHBEYOND at checkout. I'd love to have you in the group, and I'd love to see you making more passive income as you move towards financial freedom, whether it's freedom to retire early, spend more time with your family, go on more vacations, or just do more of what you love while you're in the operatory. I'd love to see you doing that as part of Legacy Point. So here's to improving your financial health. I see you nodding there, John. Is that a familiar story?
It is a very familiar story. It's funny. Just this past tax season, we have somebody that reviews work here, and he's probably been in the business 40 years. And I love him for the fact that he's very, takes a lot to earn his trust and things like that. But when he kept seeing these oil and gas K-1s come through, he kept challenging me on it and why we're doing it and all of this stuff. So it was a good debate. It was a healthy debate. But in the end, when we were able to lay it out for him, he's a believer now, but it's just good to have that kind of debate. But yeah, he's been in the business, seen a lot, and was very apprehensive about seeing some of this stuff come through.
We will talk more about oil and gas on another episode. But before we wrap up here, John, let's talk a little bit about on two things that everyone probably wants to know a little bit about, the kind of more low-hanging fruit. Talk about the home office deduction. Talk about buying a car and getting a deduction if you're a dentist or a physician.
Sure. It's a couple things you can do. Obviously, there's the Augusta rule where you can rent your house tax-free. You get the deduction in the business. Don't have to pick it up personally. 14 days or less. And again, with that, with everything that you have to be, pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered. We don't need to be too greedy in what we charge for rent and those kind of things. And so that's a no-brainer. Like you say, it's low-hanging fruit. It's an opportunity to move a little bit of money out tax-free and get the deduction in your business. And ultimately, this is why you have to talk to folks. You have to find the comprehensive plan. There's typically not one silver bullet that gets somebody under or at that taxable income number that you're looking for. It's pulling the right levers for the right client and ultimately finding the solution that works best for them, because that scenario may change, you know, to the next client. The same thing with auto and things like that. And you buy the vehicle in your business you know, it has to be titled in the business and those kinds of things. It's important that you track, you know, business use and those kinds of items. But those are just, like you say, basics that can be had. You save a few thousand here, a few thousand there. You may not have the bang that an oil and gas or something like that might have. But if you can find, there's a lot of little things that you can pull the levers on to get folks where they want to be, to take advantage of the QBI and the marginal tax rate that they want to get to.
Yeah. So a lot of that's kind of base level 101, but we definitely want to make sure we implement it. I'm sitting in my home office now, and from here I can remote into my computer. I can see patient charts and call them and do things. Yep. Is there some kind of minimum criteria or threshold to be able to say I have a home office and be able to write that off?
Yeah, the main thing is it needs to be exclusive. It needs to be exclusive. It's not your kid's bedroom or your bar or whatever, that sort of thing. Living area needs to be exclusive. But yeah, you can step back. You have a 5,000 square foot house and you have a 500 square foot home office. You can take 10% of the cost, your mortgage, interest, real estate taxes, insurance, the upkeep of that home. And typically with just the square footage is an easy way to cut it up and prorate that out.
And then weaving the office and the vehicle thing together, if I've now got business use at my home address, and if I'm driving from here to somewhere else that's business related, is that a valid use of that?
That is a valid use. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
What about the vehicle? We had talked about this the other day, Darren, when we were brainstorming back and forth. Is there a price of the vehicle that matters? If we obviously we have to track our miles and we can deduct a percentage of it for business use, but does it matter if we buy a $30,000 Prius or $130,000 Mercedes-Benz? Does that negatively impact or skew the information one way or another?
I don't fit Prius. So I don't fit Prius. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ross would just put a Prius on his back. Yeah. I don't think that's going to work for him. Yeah. The weight of the vehicle is very important. 6,000 pounds or greater, then you can get the bonus there. And
basically like an SUV or a truck.
Correct.
Typically hit the 6,000 pound.
And all that's listed when you buy the car, you know what the gross weight is and those kinds of things.
But there's no pigs and hogs delineation there. If I go buy a tank, I can write that thing off if it meets the criteria if I use it for business.
Yeah. To me, it's one of those things you're going to have, you may have a separate car that is truly personal and this is strictly business, but a lot of times it is split a bit and it's important to carve out a personal use portion of that if you don't have that extra car for your personal use as well. So that's just something to keep up with or something to be mindful of.
Hey, I just wanted to interrupt the show real quick and tell you about an exclusive member discount for Legacy Point group members. The company is called Gelt, and they're both tax planning and tax preparation. We connected because their CEO actually comes from a family of physicians, and he understands the financial complexities that healthcare professionals face these days. Legacy Point is honored to partner with Gelt because it's our shared mission to empower successful professionals with optimal tax and financial outcomes. For your 20% discount off financial planning and tax preparation and priority access with their onboarding, become a member over at legacypointgroup.com. Yeah, I actually use that Mile IQ app. It's on my phone. It's in the background and you just swipe left and right for business and personal once a month and kind of categorize things. It works great.
The software like that is great. And the more prepared you can be and the more detailed you can be anytime an auditor comes in and you've really got it laid out, they don't typically give you a lot of pushback when you're organized and thoughtful like that. It's when you're just gunslinging in there that it can be a problem.
All of your clients always keep perfect records, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. I know people hear this all the time. So some people would say, if I put a wrap on my car that's promoting my business and stuff, that instantly it's a business vehicle. You got an opinion on that?
Yeah, I don't. I've actually had somebody, the IRS actually challenged them on it and threw it out for sure. Just because you ride around with your name on there doesn't mean you're using it 100% for business in the IRS's eyes. They really push back pretty hard on that one person.
But you could probably pretty reasonably say if it's wrapped, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, if I 60% or 65% business case, right? But the 100% is a little bit greedy on that to say it's 100% business just because it's wrapped.
That's why I led with the hogs and the pigs. You have to be reasonable. You tell me you don't take your business and run to the grocery store and grab something personally or something like that, and the IRS just isn't going to, they're not going to fall for that.
But you're running through the grocery store and you ask people about their teeth while you're there. Doesn't that count?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Darren does.
Yeah, every time.
So I think this is I think it's a good base level conversation, and we can definitely have some more episodes based on the feedback on questions from this. So I think this has been a good episode, and John and Matt, we really appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks for having us.
You know what? And here's the thing. If somebody listens to this and they need a CPA and they're interested in working with John, how would they get in touch with you?
Email is probably the best way.
Hold on. You get 1,000 emails a day. Is it really?
Yeah. Because I sort it.
Okay. Tell them your email.
Go for it then.
Will you give her my phone number?
Give me your cell phone and just say text. Yeah. But I've seen how many unread text messages you have on your phone. So they'll know that. You should give them the office line.
How about the office line?
But either way, so give them your email. And they can Google Harvard Associates. There's obviously a website. You're based in Florida. But what is your email?
Actually, if you go to harvardandassociates.com, you can click on the, there's a link to request a callback on the website there.
And if you Google Harvard CPAs, the first thing that comes up is Harvard and Associates. So that's probably the best thing to do right there. And if you need to have a conversation, if it makes sense, great. If it doesn't make sense, that's fine too.
That's right.
Ivy League skill at state school prices.
Man, I'm firing my advertising group. I got you now. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to wrap my car in that. Yeah. Or my tank, as Darren would drive.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Good. Thanks, John. Appreciate
it. We struck gold with that one. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, John. All right. Thanks.
See you, John.
Bye.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening in to Wealth Beyond the White Coat, where time and attention mean a lot to us. If you found value in today's episode, please consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your colleagues and friends. Your feedback helps us grow and reach more professionals like you striving for financial freedom. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of your financial health. Thank you for joining us on this journey to wealth beyond the white coat.